Good morning. Please be making your way to your seats. It's time to begin our morning worship. We're thankful to see each of you here this morning, those of you who are here physically, and those who are with us online. We're thankful for the wonderful decision that you have made. Beginning this evening, we'll begin our vacation Bible school. It's an opportunity to teach the next generation of the church. Some of us are older, some of us are younger, but if you're below the sixth grade, probably 50 years from now, you may not be here. So it is the next generation that will carry on the Lord's work here. So with in mind of the efforts of the Vacation Bible School and for us each day, I want us to begin worship by looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 7. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, both by our words and even more importantly, by our actions. We're to teach our children to love the Lord and his commandments for us. Let us begin worship.
Would you please stand with me as we sing the first two songs? One will be the doxology, and second will be hymn number 63. So we'll sing those two songs standing. Let's all sing.
Praise God.
Seated. Next, we'll sing together hymn number 75. Hymn number 75.
I sing the mighty power of God, and may the mountains rise, and spread the glory, seas around, and build the lofty skies. I sing the wisdom that ordained the sun to rule the
Before we are led in prayer, we'll sing together hymn number 180. 180. Jesus.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we're so grateful that you have seen fit for us to meet here again this morning to worship you, to place you where you belong to be, and hallow your name at this time. We're so grateful for all the blessings that you bless us with every single day, and help us never to take any of those blessings for granted, especially the gift of your Son, who was willing to be the sacrifice and come down here so that we could have the opportunity to present any request we have and present it to you right now with the right heart and with the right spiritual sacrifice. Heavenly Father, when we say, do or think things and take advantage of this sacrifice, we ask you to forgive us at this time. Bless everyone that has something on their hearts right now. Comfort them as only you can, and be with all them that are ministering to their needs. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit, who leads us and guides us every single day, dwells inside of our hearts so that we can be closer to you. Help us to never quench that relationship. Help us to always nurture that relationship by being in the Word as we should. And grow that relationship so that we can look like and sound like and think like more like your Son who showed us the way. Heavenly Father, we ask a special blessing on all the ministers and all the deacons and all the elders and everybody who participates in all the ministries and all the ladies and who teach in all the prisons and all the things that they do. We ask you to bless them in their efforts. We ask a special blessing on Tim right now as he prepares to bring us another lesson from your Word, that we listen with open hearts and apply whatever is said to our lives and not only keep it to ourselves, but spread it to the world. Heavenly Father, we ask you to be with each of us as we go through this worship service, that we worship in spirit and in truth and be here and absolutely nowhere else. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen.
Next, we'll sing together On Jordan's Stormy Banks, hymn number 886. 886. We'll sing the first and last verse.
On
a scripture reading, Tim brings our lesson. We're going to sing These Are the Days of Elijah. These
Oh,
683.
Well, good morning, everyone. We do have a children's training class that's taking place. It will be to the left of the old auditorium, so children who are of age of that, please go ahead and go there now. So the scripture reading today is from Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7. Romans chapter 15, verses 5 through 7, and I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God.
We have had studies here about the book of Ecclesiastes, one of them going on right now, I believe. And there's a phrase in Ecclesiastes that's very distinctive, and it is the idea of under the sun. We're going to be thinking about under the sun a lot this week, we're told, because it's going to get really hot. But the idea in Ecclesiastes is that under the sun, on this earth, there's a lot of things going on. A lot of problems. It's hard to find peace. It's hard to find satisfaction. And so at the end of the book, the conclusion is, let's look above the sun. He doesn't say it that way, but that's the idea. And that's why we gather together on the Lord's Day and at other times, is to remind us there's something going on above the sun. And above the sun, God is in control. Everything is as it should be. And one day, everything will be made right. And I know as we come together this morning, many may be in turmoil because of events that have happened in our world. But let's remind ourselves as we're gathered together, we serve the Almighty God. God is in control. God will make sure that the right thing happens at the right time. And so let's worship Him and remind ourselves we can have peace. We're not totally under the sun. Our hearts are in heaven, and thus we worship God and praise Him. We're so glad that you're with us this morning, glad that you've chosen to come out and join us as we worship and study from God's Word. And if you're visiting with us, and we do have visitors with us today, welcome. Very glad that you're here. We want to welcome you and give us a chance to meet you if you don't have to rush out. And all of us, let's get in on that. Let's welcome one another and show love and smiles and handshakes, and let's just be glad this is the day that the Lord has made. I've been asked to lead us in a prayer at the beginning. This is a matter that is of great concern. They want to keep it anonymous. The details, you may not know. I know a little bit about it, and I know it is very serious. But we're going to pray for God's guidance in this. It is a matter that has just arisen in their family. It has a lot at stake, and we want to pray for God's help in this. He'll know what we're talking about, even if you may not. So let's join our hearts together in praying for this family among us. Let's bow. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. You are so wonderful and great. You know all things, Father. You can do all things, and you love us. And that's why we come to you, Father, to pray for this particular situation. And even though most will not know the details about it, Father, you know them very clearly. And you know what is at stake. You know that lives can be changed for good or for bad. And Father, we're just asking that you will step in and arrange for things to work out for the best. This family among us is very concerned. They're very anxious. They need to know that you're with them, Father. And I pray that you'll do just that. Bless them with peace. Bless them with wisdom and order events so that good will come from it. We know you can do it, Father. We also want to pray on behalf of our brother Steve Ingram, who is hospitalized. Father, we pray that you'll bless those who are working with him, that they may have wisdom and skill and be able to diagnose the problem that is at hand and help him to overcome it. Again, we know you can, Father. We pray that you will. And our sister Juanita Mathis, who is recovering from surgery last week, we pray you'll bless her as well. She is such a dear heart. We love her so much, Father. Bless her with good things. And many others among us, Lord, even though we may not name them right now, you know our hearts. Bless us, Father. Be with us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, I've got a favor I need to ask of some of you. All of you can come if you'd like. There's still a little bit of unloading that needs to happen this afternoon of a truck that is sitting in a parking lot not very far from here. Paula Bowling. Is Paula here with us this morning? Where's Paula? Oh, over here somewhere. Anyway, raise your hand, Paula. Okay. Now there she is. Paula is moving to our area. I'm sorry?
I'm so short, so you can't stand up.
Well, I'm short-sighted, I guess. So. Well, we're glad that Paula is planning to move to our area. There's still some real estate transactions that need to take place before that happens. But Paula, she brought a truckload of things to unload in a warehouse until the house is available. And yesterday, some of us got about 3/4 of that unloaded. There's still some remaining. If you could come out at 2:00 this afternoon, I think we can get it done pretty quickly. I know I said that yesterday, didn't I? But I think I mean it today. So if you can help us, we'd love for you to come and help us with that. And we really would appreciate that very much. So welcome, Paula. Is Stu with us this morning? He may not be with us. Okay. But anyway, very good people, and we're anxious to have them here with us sometime soon. Today, Vacation Bible School, what more do I need to say? This is a big day. And we hope all of you who have children or grandchildren or who have neighbors that have children will come out and bring those young'uns. It's going to be great. I mean, looking at some of the displays out in the lobby ought to convince you. Time and effort have been put into this. So let's make this a great success. And all adults, you'll have classes each evening as well. So check out the announcements and let's pray for the success of this effort. But now let's get into our Bibles. Open your Bible with me and let's study more from God's Word and know things that will help us as we try to live better lives. You probably know what I mean when I talk about a Gatorade bath. A Gatorade bath. I'm not talking about filling your tub with Gatorade. But instead, you know, this is a scene we see fairly often. It's football, maybe baseball. I don't think I see it in basketball much, but it probably happens now and then. But a team is really fighting hard. They win the game, and then as the media are interviewing the coach of the winning team, here come a couple of players sneaking up behind him, and they dump whatever's left in the Gatorade jug on top of the coach. And you know, I don't think the coach ever gets really angry about that because it's a celebration. It's an honor to him. The players are saying, "You made this happen. We honor you." Couldn't you find a better way maybe? But for the moment, that's how it happens. Well, Christianity sometimes can be compared to sports, like what we're doing right now. You could compare this to a huddle in football. You know what that is. It's between the plays, the players out on the field, they huddle up. And what are they doing? They're talking about what play they're going to run next. They're encouraging one another. They're trying to get everybody on the same page. Let's do this. We can do this. And thus, it's important to have that huddle. And then you break the huddle, you go out and play the game, which is what we'll do as we leave this building later. Well, we know that we have victories through Jesus. How do we honor the Lord? Gatorade bath is out of the question, I think. But what is there that we can do that will show honor and glory to the Lord? And that's what brings about this lesson that I've entitled, Honoring God with Common Voices. Honoring God with Common Voices. And there's a couple of ways this can be applied. So let's jump right into it and see how we can honor the Lord because he's done so much for us. Number one, we honor God when we speak one message. We honor God when we speak one message. You might say a united message, a common message. And we've seen, again, going back to the sports analogy for a moment, you know, there's a lot of teams that have very talented players, but they're not well coached. You know, one player's out here doing this, another one's doing his own thing over there. I want the limelight, give me the ball, whether it's good for the team or not. Well, those teams don't win. They need to be on the same page, playing under the direction of one good coach. Well, that's what we're doing. We're playing under one good coach, but are we speaking a common message? The passage that was read to us earlier in Romans 15, let's look at that again. Romans 15, look at verses 5 and 6, and that's the point that Paul is making in this passage. He said, "May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." There's two or three terms in that passage that talk about unity. He said, live together in harmony, in accord. That means according to what the Lord has revealed. That's our guidance. That's how we can live in harmony with one another. And then he says that together you may with one voice. Now, he's not talking necessarily about singing there, although that can be the idea, and we'll look at that a little bit later. But he's talking about, what are we saying to the world? What does the world hear us say about our Lord and our faith? Is it one thing over here, another thing over there? You know, we're all doing our own things. No, we're following the Lord. We are in accord with him, and with one voice, we glorify him. Without one voice, you're not going to glorify the Lord. But when you're speaking in accord with his will, then that's exactly what's going to happen. We find also in John chapter 17, John 17 verses 20 and 21, Jesus in the garden is praying. It's been called the high priestly prayer. And listen to what he says in John 17 verses 20 and 21. "I do not ask for these only," that is those who are nearby in the garden, my apostles. "I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word." And guess who that includes? You and me. If we believe in Jesus through the word of the apostles, Jesus is praying for us as well. And what is he asking? He said, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Jesus is praying for Christian unity. I know the world says it's okay for there to be different kinds of Christianity, and you believe it this way, you believe it that way. I mean, let's just all get together and get along. The Lord prayed that we might be one as he and the Father are one. Is that possible? Can that happen? Jesus obviously thought it could because he's praying for it to happen. And why? That the world may believe that you've sent me. And think about it when it happens. I mean, among us this morning, we have quite a variety of backgrounds, quite a variety of ethnicities, economic standing, educational background, and on and on we could go, listing different areas in which we're different. But we're here. We're one. We're trying to be even more one than we've ever been before. And that's going to tell the world, wow, what a powerful God that can bring people together and live in harmony and speak in one voice to glorify their God. And that's what we ought to be aiming for. And even though you may look around and say, well, that's somebody I don't really want to get to know, get over it. Because Jesus said, we are family. We are our Father's children. And the more we get to know one another, the more closely we live with one another, the more we show the world the power of God. And then think also about Paul's words in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, he said, and he had just mentioned, I've heard that there are divisions among you. There are some of you saying, I follow Peter, I follow Apollos. No, I follow Paul. And some were saying, well, I follow Jesus, and I don't care about you guys. He says this, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. And again, that sounds kind of impossible, doesn't it? It sounds kind of impossible that we can all have the same mind and the same judgment. But think about orchestras where there is a group of about 80 people from very different backgrounds many times, and yet they're playing from the same sheet music, they're following the same conductor. It's a beautiful sound that comes out. And that's what can happen with us when we follow the same sheet music and we follow the same conductor, our Lord Jesus Christ. We can fulfill the prayer that Jesus offered in the garden on that occasion. I think of an example that happened several years ago here in America. January 28th, 1985, some of you weren't around yet, some of us were. But on that occasion, Quincy Jones was putting together a recording that would benefit the people of Africa. There was a severe famine going on in Africa. And so he called on the people, the megastars of the entertainment industry, come here to this studio and let's make a big recording that will raise money to help those who are starving in Africa. And there were some of the biggest names available at that time. There was Michael Jackson was part of that group. There was Bruce Springsteen, Dionne Warwick, Diana Ross was there, Lionel Richie, Stevie Wonder, Ray Charles, and on you could go. Kenny Rogers was there, and on. But as they came in the door to that studio, there was a sign posted, check your egos at the door. Because the tendency would be, wait, they're getting more airtime than I am. People are gonna hear their voice more than they're gonna hear my voice. That's not right. And he said, if you're that way, just don't even come in. Because we need to all be on the same page for this good cause. And it was an amazing response to that recording, and millions of dollars were raised for the starving people of Africa because of that effort. Well, we have a greater cause. We have a much greater cause before us. We've got people that are dying spiritually. And we have the good news of Jesus Christ that will save. But unless we're speaking with common voices, that may not happen. It can happen if we're all speaking our own ideas and not following what Jesus said. So, can we honor God? Yes, with common voices that are saying the same thing because we're saying what the scriptures say. That's all. That's all we say. But let's move on to a second idea about honoring God with common voices, and that is we honor God when we sing his praises. We honor God when we sing his praises. Now, you know that singing is a command that we are given as Christians. It's what we do every time we get together. And, you know, sometimes we do it a little more than we do at other times. But there's hardly a time that we get together that we don't sing. And why is that? It's the will of the Lord. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. And Paul here, it gives one instance of that command. And he says it this way, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, the word of Christ could refer to the gospel message. It could refer to all of revelation that God has given us. But the idea is be influenced by God's message. And when that happens, then we're going to have a swell of emotion in us when we realize the good news of Jesus Christ. It has to come out. How does it come out? He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. And so he says, teach and admonish one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing in your heart to the Lord. That's something that we're commanded to do as Christians, and we've been doing it. And I've enjoyed it. I hope God has. I think he is, if our hearts are right. Ephesians 5:19, very similar passage. He says in verse 18, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. And then what happens when that occurs? Addressing one another. I'm talking to you when I sing. I'm trying to build you up when I sing. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And thus, again, you see the idea of making singing a regular part of what we do. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, we're going to look first at verse 12. And he says this. He'd been talking about how there was some divisions among the Christians there because some of them could speak in a foreign language they'd never studied before, and others didn't have that gift. Now, well, my gift is better than yours, one would say. No, my gift is better than yours. And he says it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, here's a better idea. Strive to excel in building up the church. Strive to excel in building up the church. Now, I chose the picture you're looking at on the screen because this was about 17 years ago, and you're sitting where this picture was taken. And as you can tell, it wasn't ready yet for occupancy. We weren't in there worshiping God, and yet there is Carrie, and there is Steve Stevens, and somebody else in the background, might have been Ken Letterman. But the idea is they were building up the building so that we could come together to worship. But now that we're in here, the job really begins, building up the church. Strive to excel. That's what Paul says there. Well, how do I do that, Paul? You're telling me to strive to excel in building up the church. How? Verse 15. What am I to do, he says? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. And so praising God through song is how we build up one another. When you hear the words that we sang earlier, those were strengthening. To know that God is the one to whom we call out. God is able to make all things happen. And here we are, his people, calling on him. So he says, use that ability to sing to edify one another, to build up the church. And did you notice in all three of these cases, these are issued as commands? And if there be some among us that say, well, singing's not for me, rethink that. You need to rethink that. You may not sing well according to worldly standards, but we are commanded to sing, beginning in our heart, and it has to come out through the vocal cords so others can hear us and be built up and edified. It is a command. But now let's go on to the second idea, and that is that singing to God with common voices honors him. Singing to God with common voices honors him. If you're a first-time visitor here, you may be wondering, well, where's the choir? There are many religious groups that have choirs, and they produce some very beautiful music. But that always involved, as far as I know, always involves tryouts. You step up to a microphone, you give a sample of how you can sing, and they say, well, thank you for coming, we'll get back to you, don't call us, we'll call you, and we know what that means. And then others, oh, wow, what a wonderful voice, you're in, we want you to be in the choir. We don't have that here. Why not? Because God is honored with common voices, with voices that to the world may not sound like anything fancy. You really aren't very good at carrying a tune, you might say. But God is honored. God looks in that direction. Go to James chapter 2, verses 5 and the first part of verse 6. James 2, verse 5 and the first part of verse 6, Now, this doesn't talk about singing, but there's a principle here. And listen to what he's talking about there. Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. He'd been talking about welcome. I mean, here's somebody rich coming into our assembly. Oh, let's get them the best seat. You know, you're going to have to get up. This is a better seat. You got to get up and move so they can have that seat. And somebody poor comes in. Well, you know, there's a place in the corner over there. Sit on the floor. You know, just go ahead and sit down. We don't put forth the same effort to welcome them. And James says, what have you done? You have dishonored the poor man. Now, are there some people that are rich in their vocal abilities, singing-wise? Yes. Are there some that are poor? Yes. Does that matter to God? In fact, it looks like God is saying, I'm thankful they are giving it their best. I'm honored by the fact that they sing, even though others around them may say, well, that's not such a good voice. God is honored by it, and we ought to look at it that way. Also look at Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 8, another idea on this same principle. Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 8. In this section, Moses is giving some of the regulations for sacrifices to offer after a woman has had a child. After a certain time, they were to go to the priest and make a sacrifice. And one involved a lamb and a turtle dove or a pigeon. But now we're talking about somebody that doesn't have much money. And he says that in Leviticus 12 and verse 8. If she cannot afford a lamb, then she shall take two turtle doves or two pigeons, one for a burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Now, what does that say to you? It says that God makes accommodations for those that don't have as much money, those that don't have the same level of ability. He still expects that sacrifice, but now it's on a level they can offer it that's within their means. And again, let's make the application to our voices. And I know there's a lot of people here today that would say, I can't sing. You know, please don't ask me to sing. I'm not. The Lord is. The Lord's the one that's asking you to sing. And he is honored when you sing with a common voice. If that's how you want to call your voice, then that he's honored. And to him, it is very special. Mark 14 and verse 8, you remember the occasion when Mary came in and anointed the feet of Jesus with a very expensive ointment. Do you remember what Jesus said on that occasion when the disciples started grumbling about it? Oh, such a lavish gift. Jesus said, she has done what she could. Now, in that case, it was a very lavish gift. But that's the idea. She did what she could. And when I come into this assembly or any assembly of God's people and I offer something that I think is not good quality, it's inferior, if I'm doing what I can, the Lord is honored. The Lord loves it. And we should look at it that way as well. Romans 14 and verse 4, in case any of us are kind of looking down on people that may not have those good voices, Paul made the point very clearly when he said, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or fails or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. And so the point there is, I think, you know, to God, it sounds beautiful. God is hearing the heart. We hear the vocal cords, God hears the heart. And that's what really matters to God, is what's coming out of our hearts. And I would ask it this way, is our singing today more acceptable than the next group you're gonna see here on the screen? Come in, right there. This is the work of a man that we help support in Nigeria, Africa. He sends us photographs every month or so, and on this occasion they were meeting outside under a tree. I don't know all the details about this, but that's how some Christians worship on a regular basis. They don't have the money to build a building or buy a building. They just meet under trees. And I don't know how their singing sounds, but would you argue that because we're meeting in a nice building with good acoustics, our singing is more pleasing to God? No. I would never make that argument because it's not valid. Again, it's what comes out of the heart. And sometimes I believe the singing that comes out from under the trees may be far superior than what we may offer ourselves. Here's the bottom line, John 4, 23 and 24, and I know you've heard this passage many times. Jesus was talking to the woman of Samaria. She was trying to kind of sidetrack the discussion. She says, well, our fathers worship on this mountain. You all worship over there. Who knows what is right? And Jesus responded by saying, well, we know what is right. We follow what God says. But he says this, and this is timeless. This applies to us today. But the hour is coming, he said, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him. Didn't say anything about the quality of the voice, did he? Didn't say anything about tryouts. He said he's searching for people to worship him in spirit and truth. And then in verse 24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. And so there it is. We bring to God our best. The world may say, well, that's not very good. That's not what God says at all. And neither should we. If somebody is bringing their best to God, praise God. Belt it out. Let the world hear it. Because you're honoring God with your common voice. Finally, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 14, Jesus is concluding the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. You remember what happened there? A Pharisee was praying to God on a street corner, praying out loud so people would hear him. Lord, I thank you that I'm not like others, like that guy over there, you know. I do this, I do that. You must feel very lucky to have me on your side, Lord. That's kind of what he was saying. And then Jesus talked about the tax collector who would not even lift his eyes up to heaven. And he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's all he said. And yet Jesus says in Luke 18 and verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Pharisee was not justified. The tax collector was. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Worship ought to be about humbling ourselves. We're coming in and we're recognizing there is somebody far greater than me. There's somebody whose will is far greater than my will, who is in control of the earth's events. And regardless of what I think about this or that, I humble myself before him. May his will be done in my life. Is that what you are here to do today, to humble yourself before this great God? And today, if you've not yet obeyed the gospel, it's about humility. It's about humbling yourself. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Have you acted on that faith by repenting of your sins, turning away from anything he tells you is sinful? Have you confessed him before others and been baptized to wash away your sins? Have you done those things? And if not, why not today? Why not today? Humble yourself and obey the Lord. And then be faithful all the rest of your life. And of course, we're all going to stumble along the way. We're going to have our moments of weakness. But then once we do that, we come back. We repent of those sins and we pray for forgiveness. And if that's something you want to do publicly, to confess sin or just ask for prayers of the church, we're here to help. If we can help you, come right now as we stand and sing.
Hi.
Please be seated. Before we share the Lord's Supper, we'll sing hymn number 324. 324.
We are going to do weekly communion in just a second. If you forgot to pick up a cup, if you'll raise your hand, we have people who will bring them to you if you happen to have forgotten to pick one up. Okay. I'm in Isaiah 53. At least that's where I'm going to start. I'll mention several verses, but I'm going to read from Isaiah 53. It's referred to as the suffering Savior passage, suffering servant. And I'm going to pick up in verse 2. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. That's a pretty dark and grim looking picture, and often the Lord's Supper is taken in a very dark mood. But I would like to present that Isaiah 53 is just part of the story. It's not the end and the whole of the story. It's just a small piece. And in John 10, 17 and 18, Jesus makes this remark. He says, "Nobody takes my life. I lay it down. Nobody takes it from me. I lay it down." So that puts the death of Jesus on the cross in a slightly different context. Now it's almost voluntary. Well, why would he volunteer to suffer and die? And that takes us to Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, where Jesus says, "He humbled himself and became obedient to the death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him." So now we got grim, we got "I chose to do it," and we got exaltation, where he was lifted up. So much so that in Acts chapter 8, Stephen's in a fit of looking into heaven says, "Look, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And that makes, what is this celebration about now? And Jesus caps it off with this: "Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down their life for their friends." We come together to celebrate the body and blood of Jesus. And he gave his body and he gave his blood, and he did it willingly. And he did it because he loves us. And we are celebrating that love for us until he comes back and gets us. Let's pray. Father, we are awed by the sacrifice of Jesus, that he willingly chose to come down and give his life so that he might redeem us and give us a home in heaven. So as we take of the bread, which is an emblem of his body, sacrificed for us, may we honor that sacrifice in a way that is well-pleasing in your sight. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen. On a weekly basis, we celebrate his resolve and his love and the blood that he shed that cleanses us. Let's pray. Our great God and Father in heaven, we're so appreciative of the plan that you have designed that rescued us, that saved us from despair. The blood that he sacrificed opened the door to heaven that we might enter in when he comes back for us. As we take of this fruit of the vine, which to us is a representation of his blood, may we honor it and you. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. there is a song, and the lyric goes, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? The Lord's Supper inspires us to give, like he gave, to imitate him. Give back to the people of this world hope, opportunity, salvation. We have a chance to do that by giving of our lives and giving of our means. And we want to do that prayerfully and thoughtfully. Let's pray. Father, Jesus has taught us that the greatest gift is love. May we give that in abundance to all of the people around us, and our family and outsiders as well. Not only to members of the church, but those who are lost and dying in a world of darkness without a little love from you and us. May that not be the only gift. May we dedicate our lives to your service, and may we give of our means humbly and respectfully to your cause here on earth. For it is in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let's again go to the God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time that we've had to spend together to worship you individually and as the body of your people. Help us as we go into this world to present a unified front against sin and those who advocate sin. Help us to look to your word each day of our lives, to see that as the source of unifying by following your will. We pray that you'll be with those that we will mention this morning, the efforts that we will mention this morning, that these things may work out for your will and for the benefit of all. We pray for the world. We pray for the leaders of this world, that there might be unity and people might look to you. Bless us each day of our lives. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. We have several announcements this morning. On Sunday, June 29th, there will be an all-church covered dish dinner. As usual, the meat and drinks will be supplied by the church. You're asked to bring side dishes, salads, breads, and desserts. Mark the date and let's enjoy some delicious fellowship time. The wedding shower for Rudy and Michaela Rodriguez, originally scheduled for 2 to 3:30 on Sunday, June 29th, will now be a shower reception held in conjunction with the fifth Sunday fellowship dinner occurring after the morning worship. There will be a table set up near the entrance to the downstairs fellowship hall for gifts and cards. Please stop by and meet the newlywed couple. The couple also has made some additions to their gift registry at Amazon. Vacation Bible School starts today, June 22nd, and will go through Wednesday, June 25th, from 6 to 7:50 each evening. Children will meet in the auditorium at 6 for songs and instructions before leaving for their classes. Adults should plan to be in the auditorium by 6:20 each evening for the adult Bible classes that will be taught. Come join us as we learn by walking with the prophets. Remember these in prayer. Steve I remains in Johnson City Medical Center, where he was admitted on Thursday evening. Scans have shown some areas of concern, but more tests are needed before a diagnosis can be made. For now, it is best there be no visitors or phone calls, but your prayers are greatly appreciated. Kim W. suffered two seizures last week, something that hasn't happened in 10 years, and is believed to have happened due to a change in recently made in her medications. She is resting, and we are thankful she's able to be with us this morning. Carlene B. Is having great pain in her throat that resulted from the surgery 3 weeks ago at Emory in Atlanta. This is making it more difficult for her to eat. She is scheduled to see an ENT specialist on Monday. Jan B. is suffering with a viral infection and has affected her throat and breathing. She visited a walk-in clinic on Friday. Both COVID and strep have been ruled out. Christina E. has been taken to urgent care yesterday, the second time this week. Our prayers have been requested to help her overcome these difficulties. Juanita M. was admitted to Christian Care Center of Unicoi County on Thursday in Irwin following a surgery for a broken hip earlier this week. She would be happy to have visitors. Jim O., who's a member of the Hunters Lake Bible Study Group, has been moved this week to Quillen Rehab, although they still faces a long recovery. His wife, Nancy, thanks the church for their prayers during this time. He's come a long way, but he's got a long way to go. Now then, a special opportunity to help. Christina C., who is a lady who has been making great strides after completing and studying with us at the DRC program, had her apartment broken into while she was at work at Cracker Barrel yesterday. The burglars stole her TV and over $1,000 that she had put aside for her insurance and her rent. We'd like to make a difference in her life by asking if you have a TV that you could donate. Let the church know. Also, if you would like to contribute to the funds that were stolen from her, please see me, one of the elders, or the church office. Just mark it for Teresa. That would be a tremendous help to this lady who's trying to get her life back together. And now Andy has an announcement about Men's Day.
All right, men, mark your calendars because Saturday, August 2nd is our annual Mountain Empire Fellowship Men's Day. We'll have registration starting at 8 and then sessions and speakers from 9 to 3. We'll provide a small breakfast and lunch, so don't worry, food is covered. We'll have Aaron Gallagher from the Gospel Broadcasting Network as our featured speaker. You don't want to miss him. He's fantastic. And we've got guest speakers from the area and a section for younger men as well. It's edifying, and it's a great opportunity to fellowship with believers in Christ, to be in the Word, and we hope to see you there August 2nd. Have a great day.